from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Planned Parenthood is under fierce attack right now. A series of undercover videos showing Planned Parenthood officials candidly discussing the harvesting and distribution of fetal tissue for medical research has fired up strong feelings and renewed calls to defund the Women's Health Group. Presidential candidates are weighing in. Congress could force a government shutdown over funding. Defenders are rising in response. This hour, On Point, the battle over Planned Parenthood and the future of women's health services. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you standing with Planned Parenthood or calling for it to be defunded? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. The video that first put Planned Parenthood back in the headlines started coming out in July. The so-called Center for Medical Progress, it's an anti-abortion group, released a video showing footage of one of Planned Parenthood's top doctors discussing the sale of fetal body parts from aborted fetuses. Since then, the group is an advocacy group. They did this undercover, very provocatively edited, says Planned Parenthood, but the video is tough to watch. The group has released four more videos. Here's a clip. From that set of videos, here's Dr. Deborah Nucatola, Planned Parenthood Senior Director of Medical Services, discussing the price range for the sale of fetal tissue over lunch, wine, and salad.
What price range would you... You know, I'm going to throw a number out. I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100, depending on the facility and what's involved.
The $30 to $100 price, that's per specimen that we're talking
per
about,
specimen.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Per specimen, yes. It was not just the words. This has been done and been done for a long time. It was the whole scene. They're having lunch. They're talking about body parts of aborted fetuses. It got a lot of people outraged. Among them, candidates for the presidency of the United States. In the first GOP presidential primary debate just last Thursday, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal said he believes Planned Parenthood should be defunded.
Planned Parenthood had better hope that Hillary Clinton wins this election. Because I guarantee you, under President Jindal, January 2017, the Department of Justice and the IRS and everybody else that we can send from the federal government will be going into Planned Parenthood. This is absolutely disgusting and revolts the conscience of the nation. Absolutely, we need to defund Planned Parenthood.
And there is a lot of talk just like that. Pushback as well on Capitol Hill, talk of defunding, now of tying it in to the need for overall government funding this fall and shutting the government down if necessary to raise leverage to defund Planned Parenthood. Democrats have pushed back. Here was Democratic Senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, criticizing Republicans who were voting to defund Planned Parenthood.
Do you have any idea what year it is? Did you fall down, hit your head, and think you woke up in the 1950s or the 1890s? Should we call for a doctor? Because I simply cannot believe that in the year 2015, the United States Senate would be spending its time trying to defund women's health care centers.
She can't believe it, but it is quite true. Joining me first today from Washington, Julie Rovner, senior health correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Julie Rovner, welcome back to On Point. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Can you describe what it is about the videos, first of all, that have come out in the last month or so that has people so wound up on the Planned Parenthood front?
Well, I think certainly the videos, I mean, are difficult to watch. And they were, I mean, you can, this is a value judgment, but one thing I will say for the Center for Medical Progress, they have also released the full transcripts and the full videos and not the edited versions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see from the full videos that all of the people who are making, you know, what is deemed to be, graphic and sort of unpleasant and occasionally implying law-breaking activity, that when you put it back in the context of the entire conversation, you know, they've clipped out things like, of course we can't make a profit on this, or, you know, of course we're not doing it for the money, or of course the doctor can't actually change the procedure that he's doing in mm-hmm. order to get a better specimen. So in context, they're not nearly as incriminating as they might seem. But the fact is, these are a lot of health professionals who are talking fairly cavalierly about things that people find upsetting. This is not unique to abortion or fetal tissue. There was a lawsuit recently in just in the Washington, D.C. area about a patient who accidentally left his cell phone on record while he was having a colonoscopy, and it turned out he was being trashed by the entire medical team, and he sued and he won. So, you know, the medical professionals have a habit, I think, of being sort of saying things that would sound shocking outside of their context, and that's what these videos mostly do.
Now, remind us, in the harvesting of fetal tissue, what that's for, how long that's gone on, and what that's for.
Well, it's been going on for a long time. Actually, the polio vaccine was developed in part using fetal tissue. But there was a big fight over it in the 70s and then again in the 80s. And it was finally settled in the early 1990s when really the disease groups got into it, the diabetes groups and the Parkinson's groups and the MS groups and all the groups representing diseases that could not yet be treated or cured. And they said that fetal tissue holds the promise for figuring out how to treat those diseases. In the early 1990s, before Bill Clinton came in, there was a big showdown in Congress where there were overwhelming votes in the House and the Senate, almost overrode President Bush, this President Bush 1's veto. But, you know, Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, voted to make this legal. And that's where these rules come from, that you can donate fetal tissue from an abortion, the abortion decision has to have been made in advance. So the woman isn't, you know, having an abortion in order to donate the fetal tissue, and that profits can't be made from it, but, you know, charges enough to recoup costs can, and that's part of the difficulty here. But this was largely settled. Then, of course, in the late 90s, we got into the stem cell debate, because then scientists decided that stem cells were going to be more valuable for studying diseases. So Congress sort of segued into that, and that's why we haven't heard that much about fetal tissue. But it is still being used. Actually, these days, it's being used largely to study how fetuses actually develop. It's being used to sort of benefit other fetuses. It seems to be its most common usage today.
Julie, in the tape that we first heard there, where this is Dr. Deborah Nucatola talking to an actor from this advocacy group with a hidden camera, it's over lunch, and it is off-putting, to say the least, to see the casual way in which it's talked about. But we all know, you sort of, when you're in the business, you talk about things in a more in an unvarnished way that you might not in public. But they're talking about prices per body part of between $30 and $100. Does that sound like a profit-making operation? In the world of medicine, those sound like small numbers to me, but I don't know this business.
Most experts who've been asked about this say no, at those prices, they are not making a profit. I don't think. And, you know, the other thing, and this is, there are all of these investigations now going on in all of these states. This only happens in a couple of states. Planned Parenthood only collects tissue for research in a couple of states. That's mostly because many states, despite the fact that it is legal under federal law, it is not legal in many states because they have their own laws barring this. So it's not actually all that widespread a practice. But I am not an expert in the payment for procurement of fetal tissue, but I have seen other scientists say that those are not excessive prices. They are not profit-making prices.
The head of Planned Parenthood, President Cecile Richards, came out and said absolutely no law-breaking here, no profits from fetal tissue. Here she was.
Hello, I'm Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. I want to be really clear. The allegation that Planned Parenthood profits in any way from tissue donation is not true.
Period. End of story. But it's not the end of story. Republicans very up in arms about this. Right at the head, Ted Cruz, presidential candidate, Republican senator, of course. He spoke with MSNBC yesterday about his efforts to defund Planned Parenthood.
It ought to be a no-brainer that we shouldn't be sending $500 million of taxpayer money, of your and my money, to fund a criminal enterprise. Planned Parenthood is a business, and it's a business that is making a lot of money engaging in the business of abortion. These videos that have broken in the last few weeks are horrifying. They show senior Planned Parenthood officials laughing, sipping Chardonnay, and casually, callously, heartlessly bartering and selling the body parts of unborn children.
Julie Rovner, at this point, there is a strong likelihood, I guess, that this will come back in a few weeks when Congress is back in session. The government needs to be funded. This could be the gauntlet thrown down. It could lead to a shutdown over defunding Planned Parenthood. How much money is at stake here? How much of Planned Parenthood's budget comes from the federal government?
Well, Planned Parenthood gets actually, Ted Cruz was right, it's about $528 million. That's the last year. That's about 41% of its funding that comes from government health services grants and reimbursements. Most of that actually comes from Medicaid, not from – there's a federal family planning program called Title 10. There have been efforts to defund that in order to defund Planned Parenthood for many, many, many years, going back to when I first started looking at this in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in the House – in the spending bill that came out of the House Appropriations Committee, Title 10 would be zeroed out. There would be no money for the federal family planning program. It is. If you take away Medicaid, it is a significant amount of their budget. On the other hand, it is very difficult to take Medicaid funding away from Planned Parenthood. All these governors got up at the debate and said, I defunded Planned Parenthood. They took away some state grant money. Individual governors can't take away Medicaid because there's a piece of federal law that requires that women seeking family planning services have free choice of providers as long as the provider accepts Medicaid and is, you know, not fraudulent or otherwise unqualified to do so. Then they have to be allowed to do that.
We will dive on in, but here are the numbers Planned Parenthood puts out. 42% of its services are for STD testing and treatment, STI, STD. 34% for contraception, 9% for cancer screening, 12% miscellaneous women's health services, 3% of its activity for abortion, but it's a big organization, and as you write, Julie, that does make it the nation's largest single provider of abortions. That has made Planned Parenthood a target for a long time. It is a big, hot target right now. When we come back, we'll look at the debate over the future of Planned Parenthood, abortion, women's health services, fetal tissue harvesting in this country. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour about the battle over Planned Parenthood, women's reproductive rights, fetal tissue harvesting, abortion, and the future of women's health services in America. Julie Rovner is with us, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Again, from the first GOP presidential primary debate on Thursday, lots of talk about this. Here was Republican candidate Lindsey Graham advocating defunding Planned Parenthood.
I don't think it's a war on women for all of us as Americans to stand up and stop harvesting organs from little babies. Let's take the money that we would give to Planned Parenthood and put it in women's health care without having to harvest the organs of the unborn. The only way we're going to defund Planned Parenthood is to have a pro-life president.
Pro-life president is the answer. And defund Planned Parenthood. Here was the executive VP of Planned Parenthood, Don Legenz, responding to attempts to defund Planned Parenthood and to those controversial videos.
What we're seeing here are attacks on people's ability to get health care. We're seeing attacks that are intended in their end analysis to get rid of safe legal abortion in this country and destroy Planned Parenthood.
The voters are going to have a say in this. That was the same theme taken up by Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. A video released in support of Planned Parenthood. Here's a bit from it right here.
When they attack women's health, they attack America's health. And it's wrong. And we're not going to let them get away with it. We're not going back. We're going to fight back. I'm proud to stand with Planned Parenthood. I'll never stop fighting to protect the ability and right of every woman in this country to make her own health decisions.
Let's go deeper into that debate. It is not a new debate, but it is hot right now. With us from Washington is Charmaine Yost. She's president and CEO of Americans United for Life. It's an anti-abortion law firm advocacy group, has called itself the legal architect of the pro-life movement, been active all over the country and around the world in finding ways to push back abortion. Charmaine Yost, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
And with us from Clinton, Connecticut, Katha Pollitt, writer, essayist, columnist for The Nation, author of the new book, Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights. Katha Pollitt, welcome back to On Point. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Charmaine, you've been looking for ways to push back, shut down abortion for a long time now. What about the opportunity that presents itself with Planned Parenthood's current troubles? What do you see coming?
Well, Tom, I kind of have on my mind responding to the whole 20 minutes that we've just heard of whitewashing what has been exposed about the abortion profiteering that Planned Parenthood is doing in selling the aborted baby parts after they've performed an abortion. This is rocking our country. Americans are outraged by what they're seeing in the videos, and that's really not in keeping with the kind of calm description that we've heard so far this morning. And I think that's particularly troubling because what we're finding is that a lot of people haven't actually seen the videos. And so they're depending on news reports like this one this morning to hear what it is that's on the video. And
Charmaine, it's not my job to be an advocate. We're here for calm discussion. What's your point about the profiteering? What profiteering?
Well, let me go to the very first point that Julie made in describing the videos. She said exactly what Planned Parenthood has been saying about the videos, which is that it's all about the context, and that if you go and you watch all of the videos, that there's nothing that's troubling. And I would just actively dispute that, because if you go and you look at the full video, read the whole transcripts, what you find is it's much more damning than the edited videos. You know, obviously edited videos have to be shorter in order for people to kind of get the gist.
I wish you'd take us right to your point. Of course, it's troubling talking about fetal body parts. That's not something that anybody enjoys. But when you say profiteering, you imply a breaking of the law. Planned Parenthood says categorically there's no breaking of the law here. This is legal from the Ronald Reagan era and beyond. And they say what they're doing here is supplying parts for research and charging handling costs, in effect. Do you see something other than that in this video?
Well, of course that's what they say. Of course they're going to say that. Because
I'm asking what you say specifically.
I'm going to respond. Of course they say that because it's a federal felony to profit off of selling aborted baby parts. But you have now five videos, and in each one you see high-level Planned Parenthood doctors talking about profit.
I didn't see that. I saw them talking about $30 for this, $100 for that. They said it's to cover the costs of getting it to the research center and the handling. And this is not comfortable stuff.
Of course it's not comfortable, but that's not the point. The point is what they actually say. Now, listen, Tom, I think we can all agree that these are really bright people. They're very smart. They know it's illegal. They know where the lines are. So of course they're going to hedge what they say. Of course they're not going to come right out and say, hey, I'm breaking the law here. But Dr. Deborah Nucatola comes out and says, hey, if we can do better than break even, we're happy to do that. What is better than break even? That's in ordinary human American vernacular, that means making a profit. You go on to Dr. Mary Gatter, who is president of Planned Parenthood's Association of abortion doctors, and she makes a joke about how she wants to get a Lamborghini from selling aborted baby parts.
You know, everybody's Charmaine,
hang on. I know you're going to say, oh, it was just a joke.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the numbers, Charmaine, and there's a get real impulse in me here. They're saying $30, $50, $100. You and
sure,
I both know
absolutely.
The world of American medicine. Go out and look for a liver transplant, and you'll be talking tens of thousands in a hurry. So I just find a kind of a break between the numbers they're describing here and the big-time profiteering that you're suggesting. It doesn't seem to add up just in straight number terms to me.
Well, okay, well, let me make 2 points about that. Let's go to Dr. Savita Gend, who is the medical director of Planned Parenthood Rocky Mountain, in which she said on tape that she was glad that they were able to price the parts per part so that, quote, we can see how much we can get out of it, meaning how much we can get out of each baby. That's horrifying, Tom. Mm. I mean, I don't frankly care if we're talking about a $5 profit, a $10 profit, or a $100 profit. Does it really matter how much the profit is? Once you're talking about profit, you're talking about profit.
Under the law, that's quite true.
Exactly. So why would we make excuses for them by
saying,
it's only a small amount. But the advocates on their side are saying, oh, it's such a small amount, it couldn't be a profit. Well, frankly, you know, Dr. Gind is saying, let's see how much we can get out of it. That's a profit motive. And frankly, okay, let me give you your argument. Let's say, okay, maybe these numbers are too small. Okay, that's why we need to have a congressional investigation to pull these numbers out, pull the records out, assuming they haven't destroyed them already. And let's have some transparency. Let's see what they have been doing.
It looks like you'll have that. Katha Pollitt, come in here. How do you see what's going on, Katha?
Well, I think that this is all kind of ridiculous, actually. I think that people talking on a video is not the same as actually doing something. What I saw was quite different. I saw the doctors repeatedly saying, look, we can't make a profit, resisting the pranksters' attempts to inveigle them into saying all kinds of things. And really, the thing that is important about the videos from the perspective of the people who made them is just to make abortion look gross and disgusting, and people will recoil from it. As you said, it's very off-putting. But if people want to ban fetal tissue research, they should ban fetal tissue research. But this doesn't have to do with why should that defund Planned Parenthood? In fact, hospitals donate fetal tissue research. No one's going after them. Middlemen, the people that the pranksters
were posing as being,
they are the ones who make the money, and no one's going after them. So this is really all about going after Planned Parenthood, because the people who go after Planned Parenthood are against abortion, and in the case of some, like Charmaine, are against birth control that actually works, like the IUD.
That's not true.
We'll come to the bigger picture of contraception, if that really matters here. We've got callers who want to come in, if I may. Laura in Des Moines, Iowa. Laura, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Tom. A couple of years ago, I went in to utilize some free birth control program that Planned Parenthood of the Heartland had. And in the course of that, they do an exam, and they found an abnormal thing on my cervix. So I was then referred to somebody. Turned out it was benign, it was fine, I was going to be okay. But, you know, if I hadn't gone in there for that federally funded free health care and then had a doctor to find this, who knows what would have happened. Now, I'm a single mom, middle class, two kids.
Yep.
I'm utilizing that service. Imagine all the low-income people out there. If Charmaine and her ilk want to do this, they are going to cause more pregnancies. They're going to cause more abortions. I find it really heinous that they would go to these lengths, although not surprising, because they've been chipping away for years at this. And when the courts came down and said, nope, women have to have access, they did what they're going to do. This is what they do. This is out of the playbook, and it's been going on for years, and they're not going to stop. And if they try to shut the government down over women's health care, you will see women rise up in this country, and men, because both men and women have access to good sexual reproductive health care through Planned Parenthood.
Laura, we've got your view, and of course it's Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican from your state, Iowa, who's a sponsor of this defunding legislation. But who's got the majority with them? After she was voted into office, she's got the vote on the Senate floor. Are you in a minority here, Laura?
Well, I mean, that's interesting because, of course, I did not vote for her. As happy as I am to have a woman finally go to Washington from Iowa, I think people here were a little blinded. And also, yeah, I don't know. It's the same question of why is Trump so popular among Republicans? I mean, it's just a question you have to ask. But when it comes down to it, we know when it comes down to voting on that day, these issues are going to be in the forefront of people's minds on both sides, I'm sure.
We've got it. You're standing with Planned Parenthood here. It helped you. You warn of outrage. If they really push successfully against it, let me hold that and get one more, if I may. Maureen in Omaha, Nebraska. Maureen, you're on the air.
Tom, it's an honor. I have a few points to make. We as a society are blinded, are misled, I feel, by terms such as, you know, terminate the pregnancy, or even abortion for that matter. What it truly is killing babies for whatever reason. That's one point that I want to make. I feel it's important that these videos have come to light so that we see the dirty, ugly side of what has been sugar-coated in our society. A big problem that I feel with this situation is that women should be talked out of abortion. Abortion, I feel, not only kills babies, but it harms women. And, you know, if there's a financial incentive, you know, whether it be, you know, $30, $10, whatever, there's a financial incentive for the abortions and not a financial incentive to talk people out of abortions for other, adoption, you know, something more sacrificial. The last point I want to make is, you know, I feel like the last caller, you know, I do believe in government-funded health care for women. But what about men? What about children? Why don't we reallocate these funds to something like the Community Health Center of America?
What about people who don't share your view, Maureen? I know you'll feel. I expect you'll feel now that the law that supports abortion is imposed on you. But are you willing to impose your view in the opposite direction?
No. You know, I think there needs to be an awareness, and that's what's happening right now. You know, you can make your own choice. You know, that's the beauty of this great country we live in.
Do you want to take away that choice? Is that what your opposition to abortion and Planned Parenthood means?
No, I think more of a reallocating funds to something. I'm not saying overturn, you know, Roe v. Wade. I think we're pretty far away from that. And I, you know, people have their reasons for, aborting babies. And I don't know. I can't judge.
Maureen, I appreciate your call as well. Charmaine, is your group opposed flatly to abortion, or would you just discourage, reallocate?
Tom, there's a couple things that I'd like to mention in response to our two callers. First off, to Laura, you know, I'm a cancer survivor myself, and so I'm very glad that her health problem was addressed and that she's doing well now. I would just underscore Maureen's point, which is that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of community health centers across this country that are publicly funded and that are available and that are more available than Planned Parenthood. And the issue about the law that you raised, Tom, I'm glad you did, because the truth of the matter is the profit incentive is not the only law that was potentially broken and documented by these videos. There are several other ones. Dr. Deborah Nucatola on the tape talks about huddling with her team at the beginning of the day and creating a list of organs that she's targeting going in. She talks about changing her methodology in doing the abortion in order to make sure that the parts are more saleable at the end of the day.
For research. There are demands of research, and they're looking to respond to that.
Tom, it's illegal to change your approach in order to get more saleable parts. It is also federally illegal in order to do a partial birth abortion, which means killing the baby as it's coming out of the birth canal. And several of the descriptions that are documented on the videotape, not just Nucatola, but also Melissa Farrell down in Houston in the fifth video, raise the prospect that possibly they are doing partial birth abortion. And I only say possibly because, of course, we need an investigation to determine it.
Charmaine, would you be kind enough to answer my question? Is your group flatly opposed to abortion?
Well, we're married. That's what we're in existence for.
Okay.
That's our mission.
Point that out.
I don't have any
hesitance. Maureen, our caller.
Can I leap in here?
Yes, Catherine, we just got a half a minute before the break, and I'll come back to you. But yes, please.
Well, this business about, you know, defund Planned Parenthood and community health services will make it up. They tried that in Texas. Tens, dozens of thousands of women lost health care. There is no alternative to Planned Parenthood in much of the country, and that's just the way it is.
This podcast is sponsored by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses made in America. They're engineered for comfort and long-lasting support by combining premium latex foam and memory foam. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. Here's the great part. Pick the one that is best for you and try it out risk-free for 100 days with free delivery and returns. Go to casper.com/onpoint and you can save $50. That's casper.com/onpoint. Now back to the show.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the battle over Planned Parenthood, women's reproductive rights, fetal tissue, abortion, and the future of women's health services in America. It is all out there right now after a series of videos have been released. More to come when Congress is headed back into session. Republicans are saying they will move to defund Planned Parenthood. They may. There are certainly among in their ranks those who would shut down the government in order to gain leverage to do that. It's a big deal right now. Videos, yeah, some of them are hard to listen to. Here, the Center for Medical Progress, this is this kind of, Kathy Pollock calls them pranksters, the advocates, certainly there are undercover video makers. They posed as representatives from a fetal tissue procurement company. Here's a little bit. They're discussing paying for fetal tissue and cadavers with Melissa Farrell, Director of Research for Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast.
So if we alter our process and we are able to obtain intact fetal cadavers, then we can make it part of the budget that any dissections are this, and splitting the specimens into different shipments is this. I mean, it's all just a matter of line items.
A matter of line items. That is hard to hear. Is it illegal? Planned Parenthood says absolutely not. Its critics say, hey, it may well be, and they're looking for an investigation. Many calling now for defunding. On the other hand, you have many defenders standing up and saying this is important for women's health in this country. This is being misrepresented. And what about all the rest of a agenda that would value life? Here was Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire on Monday.
They brag about slashing women's health care funding. They say they would force women who've been raped to carry their rapist child. And we don't hear any of them supporting raising the minimum wage, paid leave for new parents, access to quality childcare.
We've been here before, but it's hot right now. Julie Rovner is with us from Kaiser Health News. Kathy Pollitt, author of Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights. Charmaine Yost from Americans United for Life, an anti-abortion law firm, advocacy group, very active across the country and around the world opposing abortion. Katha, I want to bring it back to you. A lot of visceral response has been raised by this video. Where do you see the debate ultimately going? Are you counting heads on Capitol Hill? Do you see the votes here to actually defund Planned Parenthood?
I'm not a vote counter up here in Clinton, Connecticut. Sorry about that. You have to ask
somebody else.
The point of reclaiming abortion rights, the point of my book is that, and we've seen this today, just today in this conversation, is how much do you think women know what they're doing? One in three women almost have had an abortion in this country or will have had one by the time they reach menopause, at least one abortion. 60% of women who have abortions are already mothers. So the idea that, as Charmaine would like, they need to be forced to see an ultrasound, they know they're not growing a cantaloupe in there. Women are able to make their own moral decisions based on their values and what's going on in their life. And I think that the idea, for example, like one of your callers saying, oh, it's baby killing, but it should be legal. This makes no sense. If it's killing, it shouldn't be legal.
Charmaine?
Can I interact with that? I am really glad you bring that up because we are both concerned about the woman. And except we have a kind of a different perspective on what's going on in the abortion clinic. You know, I hear from a lot of women who feel like they were not given all the information that they needed to make an accurate and well-informed decision. And particularly in this context of the videos, one of the things that is most appalling to me is the question of, are the women being given informed consent? Do they truly understand what's going on and the fact that there is a profit-making incentive on the other side?
You're asserting that again when it comes to Planned Parenthood, which they roundly deny.
But, Tom, yeah. the burden of proof here is on Planned Parenthood that they, because they have a conflict of interest here as they're interacting with the woman. If they are being paid by the woman to abort the baby and then they turn around and sell, that's why it's illegal, is because there's a conflict of interest.
They're talking handling costs, and I don't think there's necessarily a burden of proof issue here, though they may be put before congressional hearings to answer to that. Katha?
Well, I just want to remind the world that Planned Parenthood is a nonprofit organization. It does not perform abortions in order to get this tissue, in order to make a profit so they can all go out to fancy lunches. They are performing health care for people. And I feel that the idea that women don't know what they're doing is really false. They walked into that clinic.
Did you watch the videos?
Yes, I watched those
videos. Did you hear her joking about wanting a Lamborghini and saying, well, if the price isn't enough, I'll have to increase it?
Look,
I mean, that's a profit motive right there.
I'm not going to defend
away. That's also lunchtime chatter, maybe both. I want to bring our callers in. Amy Greenfield, Massachusetts. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, folks. 2 points. One, I think I share with Charmaine and many others about a enormous concern about, you know, the unborn in terms of how painful and how hard that is for anyone who's involved in it. Very tough decision. I respect, I have a sense of, you know, reverence for all life, including animals, by the way. However, I think the other point that's really important that is longstanding here is, in fact, the economic inequality factor for women. Wealthy women, women of privilege and connection, have always and will always be able to have an abortion if they have to make that painful decision to do it. I don't think I could do it. However, I don't know, but it's really important that we recognize the inherent hypocrisy on the part of anti-abortion politicians and the funders of those folks around what the impact is for poor women and women without connections and out privilege, and the fact that this is the inherent discrimination in the opposition to federally funded abortion.
You're saying because women, if you've got money, you'll always find a way to have an abortion if that's what you or your family or the woman decides.
Absolutely, always has been and still is very much today.
Amy, let me hold that and get one more if I may, and I appreciate your call. Let me go to Sarah, if I may, Beaver Dam, Kentucky. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Listen to your show every day. I love it.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to come in and say that I feel like this defunding of Planned Parenthood is just another back angle at trying to get rid of things like Obamacare, because the people who are the most staunchly for getting rid of Planned Parenthood are the same people who fought Obamacare teeth and nail. And, you know, it's just another war on women and minorities and a chance to get the health care that we, as all Americans, minorities, women, privileged, rich, whatever, deserve. And it's a shame because, you know, it's like they've said that only 3% of Planned Parenthood is into performing abortions. I myself went in one time to possibly have an abortion, and I disagree with Charmaine. I didn't feel pressured. In fact, when I actually got into the room to have it performed and decided at the last minute that I wasn't ready to make that choice, they were perfectly kind, and they said that, you know, go home, take some more time to think about it. It's not for everybody. But I also want to point out that most of the people that were in the lobby had families already, and not everybody was there for an abortion. Many were there for health care, and the few other ladies that were there possibly seeking an abortion, most of them actually did have children.
Sir, I really appreciate that first-hand experience and testimony right there. That's really interesting, right from the room where you decided to make a U-turn and describing how that unfolded. If I may, I want to go to the point you raise, and Amy alludes to it as well, but it came into the debate last week at the Senate about, well, how important is it to have Planned Parenthood doing this women's health care work? Wouldn't it be available? Couldn't it be available some other way? This is Oklahoma Senator James Lankford said, well, let's transfer funding from Planned Parenthood to other women's health clinics. Julie Ravner, I want to bring this to you. Here's Senator Lankford.
Let's take the funding that has been committed to Planned Parenthood, who is the single largest abortion provider in the country. 40% of their revenue comes from the federal taxpayer. For the single largest provider of abortion in the country to stop and to say, let's take that funding, let's commit it to organizations that do full women's health, mammograms, testing, contraceptives, the works.
Julie Rovner, there's Senator Lankford saying you could do this another way. Charmaine Yost says we don't need it. Katha Paul says we do need it. Without it, Texas women have found themselves, poor women have found themselves without all kinds of health care. What about it? Does it need to be Planned Parenthood? If the funding were redistributed, how would that change the landscape of health service offerings, Julie?
Well, funny you should ask, because I've been looking into exactly that question. One of the reasons it's been so difficult for states to defund Planned Parenthood because of their abortion services is because, as we have pointed out, the other things that they do are much larger. In fact, Planned Parenthood is the largest single provider of subsidized family planning in the country. It serves more than a third of people, and this is men and women. 8% of Planned Parenthood's patients are actually men. It serves more than a third of the people who obtain subsidized family planning every year. That is larger than health department clinics. It's twice as big as the community health centers that we've been talking about. Yes, there are many community health centers. Not all of them offer the full range of contraceptive services. And there's a capacity issue. Yes, Congress has increased funding for community health centers in recent years. They got a big boost in the Affordable Care Act. That's because not everybody is being covered by insurance, as we know, under the Affordable Care Act. So there are a lot of people streaming into community health centers for other things. Now, we obviously know how this has played out in Texas, where they did cut Planned Parenthood out of. There's Medicaid, and then there's an additional program that about half the states have where you can extend just family planning services for low-income women who still make too much for Medicaid. Texas decided to give back their federal money because they weren't allowed to do it, to cut out Planned Parenthood with federal money, fund it purely with state funding. And what's happened in the ensuing couple of years is that 25% of family planning clinics in Texas closed, 18% reduced their service hours. And the percentage of clinics that offer the full range of contraceptive dropped from 70% in 2011 to 44% in 2013. So, you can see what happened. When you cut out Planned Parenthood, you're not just going to lose the abortion services, which is the intent, but all those other health services that Planned Parenthood provides.
Liz in Long Lake, New York. Liz, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I feel that I have a very important point to make in having certain services available to women. I was obliged to have what is termed a late-term abortion. I was already a mother. I was trying very hard to have a second child. And the fetus was deemed a trisomy 13 fetus.
What does that mean, Liz?
A trisomy 13, it's the 13th chromosome. The 21st chromosome denotes Down syndrome. The second most common is the 18th chromosome in triplicate. And then the 13th chromosome, in my case, was the one that was abnormal. And what this basically was telling, health care, my gynecologist obstetrician, was that this fetus would probably most likely self-abort in the third trimester. Mm-hmm. And if it did go to full term and I were to give birth to it, it would in no way be ever viable, and it would never leave the neonatal ICU. So I made the very, very, Charmaine, difficult decision to abort that, which I think about all the time. But had I been forced to carry that child to full term and then put it into a neonatal ICU, which then the insurance industry would have been forced to pay for, I don't feel that that was the right decision. I went on to have a second child who is now 18 years old. She's about to go off to college. I am very fulfilled, but it was not an easy decision to make, and I would not force in a Sharia type of law that it seems like you people are trying to impose on women that kind of a decision.
Is it about health or about rights or about both, Liz?
I beg your pardon?
Is it about health or rights?
I am fortunate in that I had insurance. I was able to do that. I had excellent medical care, but I think all women, this should be available to all women, and women should be able to make these decisions for themselves, and I'm tired of the religious right stepping in and stomping all over that, and then not providing, with the increase of of services, forcing women to basically have these children and absolutely not stepping in and providing any kind of tax incentive, tax services for women who are forced to have these children.
Liz, our time is short. I think we have the deep gist of it, and I appreciate it. Katha Pollitt, this is kind of along your line here, not just health, but right. And you're saying claim it proudly, whatever you see in the video here.
I think the last caller was really said it all. It is up to women to make this decision about their lives and their pregnancies. And I think that it is a Sharia type movement to take that choice away. And that's true for birth control too. I have to emphasize, they're against that. In Colorado, there was a wonderful program that reduced the rate of teen pregnancy and abortion hugely by like 40% by giving young girls and women the birth control of their choice, and most chose IUDs. And that's been the legislature has defunded that because, oh, the IUD, that's a little mini birth control, and it will make girls more promiscuous. I mean, really.
Charmaine, is this your moment? We've got 1 minute here. Do you feel the leverage here with the heat around these videos to actually see a defunding happen? Do you think it might happen?
I think it might happen. And here's the thing, Tom, is my heart breaks for our caller, and there's no doubt about that. And we could talk about her situation at great length. I'm sorry for that tragedy. I want to thank you for playing the video of Melissa Farrell, because in that one clip that you chose, there were three potential felonies that she articulated in one sentence. And one of the most important things that she articulated that we haven't talked about at all is she talked about intact fetal cadavers, which raises the question of when it is that they're killing these babies.
What are the odds that you'll see defunding? You got abortion, banned in Ireland. Your group describes itself as pivotal in that change. Is this the time? Do you think you'll knock Planned Parenthood out of the abortion business, out of business?
I think that it's not a question of if, but when. And the question right now is, when is Planned Parenthood going to answer for the questions that have been raised by these horrifying videos?
Well, there will certainly be plenty of congressional time to put that, maybe even a government shutdown around this. Charmaine Yost at the Americans United for Life group in Washington, thank you for joining us. Julie Rovner, Kaiser Health News, thank you for being here, Julie.
Thank you.
Katha Pollitt, author of Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights. Thank you very much, Katha.
Thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, thanks for all your input. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.